We enter today into the Lenten season, which is a time of preparation for Easter. Easter, the essence and the core of our Christian life. So, as Pope Francis wrote it in his message for this Lent, quote, "The path to Easter demands that we renew our faces and hearts as Christians through repentance, conversion, and forgiveness, so as to live fully abundant grace of the Paschal mystery." Brothers and sisters, when we think of Lenten season, we often tend to think about the things that we make a point of refraining from. We think of something authentic that we want to do, something that makes sense and that can well help us prepare for Easter. This is certainly praiseworthy. But what is the message that the Lord addresses to us, especially on this day? We heard it in the first reading. "Return to me," says the Lord. "Return to me with your whole heart." This is where the real problem begins: returning to God with all your whole heart. To return to God means that somewhere in us we recognize that we have lost the true path and that we must take another path. Returning to God means that we recognize we belong to God, that we are made by God and made for God, because our purpose is truly the face-to-face with God in his kingdom. Returning to God, doesn't it mean to recognize that for us Christians, our God is a person who calls us, a person that calls to live in relation with him? So returning is something very concrete. We can fast spiritually, as we can give alms and pray also. But what happens of these attitudes without one taking to live them well in time and space for and with God? This is why Lent is a time given to us, as St. Paul said it in the second reading. Now is a very acceptable time. Now is a very right time. Now is the day of salvation. Yes, Lent is an invitation to live in time and in space in the day of God. Thus, to do concrete things without deceiving ourselves. Jesus gives us three examples, which are not only attitudes, but concrete examples that allows us to see our truth and the depth of our being. First, Jesus speaks to us about alms. Not to do by moral duty. Not to do to obtain the glory that comes from men. But alms to do in silence, without calculation, without fear to losing something. In this sense, Pope Francis tells that it would be good to ask ourselves, of what we can deprive ourselves in order to help and enrich others by our own poverty. Let us not forget, he pursues, that real poverty hurts. No self-denial is real without this dimension of penance. I distrust a charity that costs nothing and is not painful. Beside the arms that we know and that we can call bodily arms, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, receive the stranger, visit the crippled, there is the spiritual arms, which consist, for example, in praying for this or that person, in counseling one person, forgiving a neighbor, consoling someone in pain. Bodily arms, spiritual arms. Secondly, Jesus exhorts us to pray in secret, showing that we are praying only to impress others is hypocritical, of course, but this religious exteriority is not our greatest temptation or hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of our time can be found in our way of saying, I do not need the Christian community to pray. I can pray alone at home while not doing it. Moreover, in reality, someone who has a life of prayer always nourishes in him the desire to participate in the community life of his sisters and fellow believers. Also, if prayer has no concrete time and space in our lives, well, we will end up praying no more. So, in many of us here, the prayer is dying very silently. It is dying in many because God remains for them a means and not a goal. Return to me, said the Lord. Return to me with all your heart. Do not resort to me just to get satisfaction with this or that need. Open your heart to me. Give me time. Consecrate time for me. So, brothers and sisters, the prayer, do not make it a chore. That it be rather, in this favorable time, a cure of oxygen, which is necessary for our soul. Moreover, as Pope Francis emphasized it in his message this year, prayer teaches us to abandon idolatry and the self-sufficiency of our ego and to acknowledge our need of God, our need of the Lord and his mercy. And finally, fasting. Fasting which, before being a privation, is first a simple way of life, simplified. How many things, thoughts, and activities encumber us? How much useless or superfluous stuff in our life? Fasting can then mean sorting out. And this sort, dear Christian, no one will do it for you. Sort and keep the essentials. fast, the Lord tells to me, because you are a free man, free woman. Get away from something to show that you are the master of your life, to show that it is you who choose what is good, or rather, to show that you can choose a good bigger. Yes, fasting lightens. Fasting frees. But perhaps even more, fasting deepens in us a greater thirst, a deeper hunger. I mean, it disposes our hearts to what they are made for God. So fast. Choose your fast. Do not choose 50. Choose one or three things that you will spend with during these 40 days, and you will return to the Lord with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, may this time of Lent be for each one of us a gift, a favorable time, a time of community and personal exercise of the Christian life and of the prayer. So at Easter, we will have taken a big step forward. We will be more authentic. Thus, brothers and sisters, fruitful season of Lent to each one of you. Amen.